Now it's day. Now it's like you see a movie star.
You're benched. You're benched. Somebody gave me a card. It's called, it comes from Dowdery Doherty Management Systems Incorporated. Must be a, who knows what kind of computer. Managing Human Resources, Tempe, Arizona. That's what they gave me today. Slipped me right before class. And the card says, "Together we can." And the insert reads as follows. A little picture of a bird. And this is what it says. They must have a series of these. Be a good finder. For decades, psychologists dwelled on what was wrong with people. Finally, we've learned that seeking what's right with people becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy. Self-fulfilling prophecy. Good finding engenders high self-esteem and high achievement. What are you looking for in yourself and others? Interesting thought. There was a book I mentioned to a few people, a book written by a fellow named, maybe it was a woman, somebody called Hillman. I saw my mother-in-law had it, and it's 100 Years of Psychotherapy and Why Are We Getting Crazier? 100 Years of Psychotherapy and Why Are We Getting Crazier? That's astounding to imagine such a thing. Basically, what Tshuva really is all about, I think the topic of the session is the road back. And I don't think that we can even attempt to take the road back unless we know where we're going. You've got to have a road map. You have to go to the AAA, and they have to tell you exactly where you're going. You have to establish for yourself certain guidelines, certain parameters, in this case, certain concepts and terms to define the objectives. What are we looking for? What are we striving for? Where do we want to go? And I think even before all of that, I think comes the question, who are we? I had mentioned that I just read this week in the newspaper, the Parade magazine. I indulge myself. I have no television. I only hear WTOP. Okay, and BMO, this guy Limbaugh, I'm one of those right-wing conservative people with a small C. And Rush Limbaugh, is he one of those? I'm one of those 12,500,000 that once in a while, you know, watch him, listen to him at least. And Parade magazine I read. And there it has sometimes interesting articles. And there was an article written by Carl Sagan this week. And in that article, he questions, what are we? Who are we? What is our purpose? The only thing I can tell you is that the first three words of the Chovas HaLevavos, of the Messias Yisharim, he fulfilled. After that, it's downhill. After down there, it's a disaster. Macho Vaso Balama, what's our purpose in life? Who are we? What our objectives are? Human identity, and he fails miserably. He doesn't begin to know where to look. And tshuva is to return back to really, in a sense, the word tshuva does not really mean repent. The word tshuva really means to return. It means to return to God that which we have. To take all the gifts, the neshama, the nefesh, the seichel, the lave, the intelligence, the heart, the control, the judgment, all those noble qualities that define humanity and makes us so uniquely special in the order of creation. It is our obligation to take all those wonderful gifts and to return them to God, to direct them in His service. I had mentioned that the month of preparation before Rosh Hashanah is extremely important. It's a critical month. There's no way that one could really hope to come into Rosh Hashanah without an Elul. Lahavdil, a baseball team cannot begin to play unless they have spring training. On a very, very fundamental, in a very unsophisticated level, just in a physical sense. Believe me, to come into a Rosh Hashanah in Yom Kippur without an Elul is extremely, extremely difficult. Elul, the source of it is found in a number of psukim. One of them is, I need the Dodi v'Dodi. I am for my beloved, and my beloved is for me. Beloved is God, and Ani is I, Klal Yisrael. I am for my beloved, and my beloved is for me. From there, we take the first letters of Ani, Lidodi, Vidodi Li, Ani Aleph, Lidodi, Lamid, Vidodi, Vav, Li, and together we have the word what? Elul. Why this pasuk was chosen by Chazal to be the pasuk that hides or secretly puts into it the month of Elul is very revealing. It's because we cannot begin the month of Elul unless we first establish our own identity and with it our relationship to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to Almighty God. Understanding who we are and understanding what Kaviyachol means to us is an Iker component, is a major aspect, dimension, to the thrust of Tshuva. I need the Dodi v'Dodi Li. I am for my beloved and my beloved is for me. One of the ways you can read that is, I need the Dodi. As much as I will bring myself close to my God, the Dodi Li, my God will reflect that in me. The more we will come closer, the more we will reach out, the more we will seek His presence, the more HaKadosh Baruch Hu in turn, in kind, will respond. In fact, there is a Chazal that says that Hashem tzilcha ayad yiminecha. Hashem tzilcha means He will protect you, ayad yiminecha. But also it means Hashem tzilcha from the word tzel, that God is your shadow. It means your shadow means that as we move, so too does our shadow move with us. Every movement that we make is reflected in the shadow that we cast off. HaKadosh Baruch Hu exactly works the same way. As much as we are prepared to invest in Him, as much as we reach out, as much as we give over to Him, as much control that we are prepared to delegate to Him, that's how much He will respond in kind. The more money you put in the bank, the more interest you get. The less money you make the investment, the less return you get. HaKadosh Baruch Hu responds as a bank. The more you invest, the more the return. This idea of tshuva as being one of giving over to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, giving over to God Almighty, this recognition that everything is His, is the first principle upon which tshuva is built. That is the first concept upon the idea, as we call, the road back to tshuva. You know, Chumash begins, beginning of Bereishis. Chazal asks that really, Bereishis should not have been the beginning of the Chumash. The beginning of the Chumash should have started with HaChodesh HaZeh Lachem Rosh Chodesh. This should is to you, the first of the months. Should not have started with Bereishis Bara Elokim, because that is a universal thing. Creation is a universal thing. The unique aspect of Torah begins with the first mitzvah, the mitzvah of Kiddush HaChodesh, the sanctification of the new month. And one of the answers that is given, one could say, that the reason why the Torah begins with the beginning of Bereishis is because that is the most critical, critical part of all of Torah. It establishes the premise. It establishes the foundation, the basis of all Shmiras HaMitzvahs. The basis of all Shmiras HaMitzvahs, the foundation of all Jewish observance, is predicated upon the concept that Chavivcha Adam Shenivra B'Tzelem Elokim, is that we were created in the image of God. If we don't begin with the idea that we are godly, then in no way possible can we strive for greatness. So before we even begin with a mitzvah, before we begin with the imperative to do, we have to understand who we are, what we are to emulate, what our potential is. We are godly. We have a chelek nefesh elokim mimal. We have a part of the divine. And for that reason that we are so endowed, so blessed, so magnificent, that establishes before anything else the demand that we should be shomer Torah mitzvos, we should be observant and do his mitzvahs. You know, this idea about Klal Yisrael, before we begin even the details of tshuva, one of the psukim of the Torah says, "Bonim atem Hashem Elokechem," you are children unto God. I once said, I can't choose who my children are. None of us can. It's one thing the Eibishter does not give us control of. That Basel, I don't know what it is. I don't know. These are things beyond my comprehension. You want to know the mysteries of the universe. You know, Mars, Jupiter, all of these scientific explorations, these are limited stuff. It's absolute things. No. They'll find it. Yeah, it's only a matter of science, that's all. Just finding enough probes, enough spaceships, and to be able to determine what it is. You want to know the secrets of creation, the secrets of the world? Try to figure out how the Eibishter works. Try to read his mind. Try to see his hashkacha. Try to see his divine plan. Therein lies the secrets of the universe. Bonim atem Hashem Elokech. I can't choose my children. Whatever the hand I'm dealt, that's the hand I play. The Eibishter could have chosen his children. God could have chosen any people on the face of the earth as his children. If the Torah says, Bonim atem Hashem Elokechem, that we are endowed, that we have been chosen from all of humanity to be his children, just imagine the esteem with which God holds us in. Imagine how great Kavyachol feels that we are. Imagine the potential that we represent. Imagine for a moment what we are in a position to do for Kavyachol. And imagine a child in terms of the nachas, the joy that he can bring the parent. That is the concept. That is the thought that Torah tries to convey when it says, Bonim atem Hashem Elokechem. It is a confirmation of the greatness of the Klal Yisrael, of the Jewish people. And as we prepare this process of tshuva, it is critical that we feel good about ourselves, that we know who we are. We know our unique place in creation. We know our power, our potential. It is limitless. And Siyata Dishmaya, the help of Almighty God, because he is our Father, knows no bounds. There's a very famous story. Many years ago, I heard it. Rabbi Franz, when he was here in Shul, once tells a story about a child walking on the ocean by the seashore, and the Queen Elizabeth II is going by, and the kid says to an adult walking with him, "Mister, you want to see something? See that big boat, the Queen Elizabeth? I'm going to wave to it. And when I wave to the boat, you're going to hear two hoots from the captain's quarter." Man says, "Young man, that is the biggest ocean liner in the world. you are from the smallest people I've ever seen. I want you to know, you're not going to be able to wave to the Queen Elizabeth II, and you're going to get back at your signal two hoots. He won't give you two hoots. That's what you're going to get. He says, let me show you. The ocean liner goes by, the kid waves, and lo and behold, two hoots from the captain's quarter. The man looks up, astounded at the lieutenant, and says, good man, how did you know that he was going to give you two hoots? He says, you don't understand. The captain is my father. The captain is my father. Avinu Malkeinu. Every time we think, every time we daven, Bonim Atem Lashem Elokeichem, we are children, and he is our father. Which father does not respond to his child? So therefore, to affirm that we are his children, and we approach him in that spirit, and as a child he endows us with all the gifts. Now what wouldn't I give my son? What wouldn't I give my daughter? What gifts wouldn't I give them? What power wouldn't I endow them? What potential wouldn't I bestow upon them if I had the power? If God's prepared to say, I'm your father, then you could very well believe all the great, wonderful, intricate qualities that God endowed in each and every one of us. For surely no less than any parent does HaKadosh Baruch Hu bestow on his children greatness. This idea of tshuva, this idea of repentance, the road back, is one of the most magnificent, and wonderful, and outstanding, and exciting Yom Tovim on the entire Jewish calendar. It is an opportunity that we have once a year to set our course straight. It's a time of the calendar that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us a chance to be able to begin anew. There's a very beautiful martial parable related to this. You know, if you have, let's imagine that you have a beautiful white dress. We'll call it a suit. A white suit. Very, very fashionable. And a stain gets on the suit. Hard to get out. All right, a little stain. Still Shabbos stick. I can get away with it. Another stain. After a few stains, like a number of dents in the car, you're not so careful anymore. Noch a stain, a little bit more, come home from shul, you know, take it off, let it wear. Another little grape juice spot, zvos, the difference doesn't make. It's already, you understand. Let's take the neshama. Another avera. Another transgression. We know the score. We know what we do to ourselves. We know how we act. We know how our conduct is. Over years of accumulation of hate, of transgression, years of conduct and behavior without checks and balances, we become so overwrought. We become so discouraged. We become distressed. In a sense, we give up. And therefore we lose interest and heart in our conduct and behavior. Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur is that gift that once a year HaKadosh Baruch Hu not only bestows upon us an opportunity to come close to Him, to return, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu literally reaches out. HaKadosh Baruch Hu takes us by the hand. Not only does He accept our tshuva, but as it says in the brachas of Shemone Esrei, Baruch Ato Hashem Harotzeh B'Tshuva. Not only are you God Almighty One who accepts our tshuva, who accepts all that we do against you and forgives, but you Almighty God come to the door and you plead with us, ask for mechila. You should know that Mahu Afato, as God acts, so too do we have to act. I was reading Avas Chesed today, written by the Chofetz Chaim, on the importance of Chesed, of kindness. The importance of kindness. And he says that in Shmon Esrei, the says not only in Sim Shalom Tova, Chayin v'chesed rach molenu v'akoy Yisrael amecho b'rchenu avinu kolonu k'ach b'rach v'nech yuron atzat olonu ha'shem l'kenu Torah Chaim, not only have you given us living Torah, but what else have you done? V'avas chesed. You have given us the potential of love of chesed, the love of kindness. Amazing thought, he says, that chesed, kindness, is not fulfilled just by the act of doing chesed, the act of doing kindness. It requires us to do it in a way that we love to do kindness. For without the love of kindness, we will not find opportunity to be able to really benefit another. Chofetz Chaim says that God is the essence of chesed. He is the source of chesed. His chesed, his kindness, his conduct with his people, with the world, maspia l'chol chai ratzon. He satiates and gives food to all of creation. All of humanity reverberates, and all of the animal kingdom reverberates with his kindness. And that chesed, without reservation, purely out of his love and concern and feeling and magnanimity, is in fact the chesed that we are required to emulate. We have to be like Almighty God. We have to follow his example. And Chofetz Chaim goes so far as to say that we are required to approach another person in chesed in the very same manner that we approach our conduct with our children. When one has a child, one does not require the child to ask him to go ahead and do them a favor. By doing kindness to a child, in the deepest sense, we are doing ourselves a kindness. We have to view every person and feel the imperative to reach out and to seek their welfare and good in the very same manner that we would approach our interest and desire to satisfy the needs of our own children. Where did I learn it from? I learned it from God. If God does that, that's who we have to be. Somebody embarrasses you. Somebody humiliates you. Somebody rebels against you. Your child rebels against you. A person, you do chesed, kindness to. You take a person into the house, you feed them 20 years, and that person leaves the house and doesn't know who you are. You don't even get a Rosh Hashanah card. Just walks out. Not a word. And not only do they walk out and you don't hear from them, but they conspire against you and rebel against you. How would you feel? Would you then go ahead and run over to their house and seek opportunity to try to give them a chance to do tshuva? I'm sure we wouldn't. I don't even know if they came back, how fast we would be to receive their tshuva, their repentance, their feelings, and accept their I'm sorry. But would I knock on the door? Would I send people after them? Would I find any and every opportunity to try to find a way where these people will come back to me? You know what I would say? Good riddance to them. Rabbi Yisrael Slanty once had a great word. Somebody went ahead and he said, Rabbi Yisrael Slanty, he did him a terrible thing. Rabbi Yisrael Slanty said, I can't remember the last favor that I did for this guy that he should act like that to me. It's the way in the world. And the more you do, the worse it becomes for you. But the hurt is that much greater. Famous story about a Rebbe that went ahead and lent somebody a hefty sum of money. It's a true story. And he went ahead and they were going to make a chayim over the transaction of the great amount of money that was given as a loan. So he told the shamans in Europe to go ahead and bring him cherries. Cherries was a delicacy in Europe. Still today also. Big bean cherries. And he went ahead and he ate the cherries, and the Rebbe finishes the bowl of the cherries and takes all the pits and puts them together. And he goes ahead and has about 30, 40 pits in a little bit of a pile. So the chassid says to the Rebbe, says, Rebbe, the money that he gave me, I understand. But the pits, to make piles, what are you doing? He says, I want you to know, I'm going to give you these pits. When the time will come that you want to act out against me and you want to rebel against me, I ask you only that you should throw these pits. Don't pick up any rocks against me. Just pick up the pits. With the Eibishter, that's the way we are. We rebel. We don't fully recognize and appreciate the magnanimous chesed and kindness he bestows on us. And above all the chesed that God does, as the Chovetz Chabad says, all the kindness that the entire humanity has been able to bestow, all the mitzvahs from the time of Adam, Adam HaRishon, to this very day, if they would all be put together in one person, in his service before God, they would not justify, they would not equal a moment of kindness that God does to any one person in creation. Chovetz Chabad says that. Let me play it again. All of the good that all of humanity, the Avos, the Patriarchs, the Matriarchs, the Nevi'im, the Rishonim, the Achronim, everybody, put them all together. And the miracle of God's sustenance, the miracle of life, the goodness that God bestows upon us, could not be repaid by all of humanity's service for one moment of life that God gives us. And on top of that, we'll rebel, we'll sin, and what will we do? And Almighty God not only will accept our tshuva, and not only will receive us, but he sends us an invitation. Come! I want to hear from you. Maybe you want to come back. Still no response. He sends us a limousine. He sends us car service. I'll pick you up. I want to see you. Still no response. I'll tell you what, I'll come to your house. He'll knock on the door, and he'll come himself and present himself as if he's the one that needs the tshuva. Baruch atah Hashem harotzeh b'tshuva. Blessed are you, God, who seeks tshuva. That's the chesed Hashem. That is the magnitude. That is the greatness that HaKadosh Baruch Hu presented himself, gave us an opportunity once a year to come back to him. Think about it. And Chazal goes so far as to say, the rabbis say, that not only does he accept our tshuva and encourage us and prod us to do tshuva, but when we repent in a proper and total fashion, all our transgressions become turned into mitzvahs. You explain me that trick. Not only do the averis, the transgressions, retroactively disappear, but they become transformed into mitzvahs. Don't get any ideas. Yeah, I thought it was a nice shortcut, no? You understand? I'll live it up for a year. Come Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, you understand? Voila! Yeah, that's the best of both worlds. I'll have Olam HaZeh and Olam HaBa. Yeah? For all the year, I'll go ahead and live it in this world. Then Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, I'll go ahead and do tshuva. It's not going to work so easily. But that is the magnitude of the chesed Hashem, of the kindness of God, the manner in which he reaches out to us. But aside from the fact that he reaches us out, and he endows us with such greatness, and gives us such sense of confidence in ourselves, that he calls us his children, HaKadosh Baruch Hu also gives us unbelievable inspiration, unbelievable wherewithal, strength, power to be able to reach him, to be able to respond to him. Not only does he come to us, but magically, intrinsically, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us the wherewithal, the power, the strength from within, to be able to know wherever we are, to bring ourselves up and to reach out and come back. I had mentioned this a number of years ago. It is a classic, classic. And I'll share it with you again. For me personally, it's great inspiration. And it is a shmooze that I heard from my Rebbe, from my teacher, many, many years ago. And it is directly related to Rosh Hashanah. Shir Mizmor Livnei Korach, King David makes a special song for the children of Korach. You remember Korach, that person of infamy in Chumash, begins a rebellion against Moshe Rabbeinu, rebellion against Moses. So brilliant is he, so persuasive is he, so effective is he, so clever is he, that Korach is able to bring Moshe Rabbeinu to his knees. Moshe Rabbeinu will not be able to best Korach. The leadership of the Jewish people is literally in the balance. Korach gathers with himself in his rebellion, in his theological divisiveness against Moshe Rabbeinu, and his interest to overthrow him as leader of the Jewish people, has such power that he has with him the leaders of the Sanhedrin, the Jewish tribunal. He has heads of state, heads of the Shvatim. He has literally whole tribes behind him, prolific personalities, and Korach has his children. Chumash says, Rashi brings it down, Korach maro l'shtutzer. How did Korach get involved in this rebellion? If he is so brilliant, if he's so smart, if he's so prestigious, and he had his own esteem, he was a representative of the tribe of Levi, endowed with special privileges, why does he launch an attack against the chosen one, Moses, and ultimately how does he pay for his rebellion? With his head. He dies. The ground swallows him up. Korach maro l'shtuzeh. Korach, what did you see, the Medrash says, to launch an attack? So stupid. Moses went to heaven. Moses spoke to God. Moshe brings down the Torah. You're not starting up, you understand, with just another appointee. You're starting up with the chosen one. You're starting up with Moshe. If you're so smart, where did it get into your head that you could best him? Enough into Yosef, the Medrash says. His eyes deceived him. He had a prophetic vision, a nevuah. And what did he see in that prophecy? He saw Shmuel Hanavi, Samuel the prophet, coming out of his lineage. Korach has among his allies his children, the Bnei Korach. They're one with their father, you know, a father and a son. I mean, you know, they're together. They're inseparable. Korach and his children are in the forefront of this rebellion. And if he did a number on those that are distant and removed, could you imagine the number he did on his kids? What positions they took to support their father? And he says like this, if I'm wrong, then me and all my children will then expire. They'll die. There's nothing left. How is it that Shmuel the prophet, Samuel the prophet, is coming out from my lineage? You know what it must be? I'm right. So great was Korach, he had prophecy. Not a lie. And he sees that Shmuel is coming from him. If Shmuel is coming from him, must be he's right. He was so taken in by his own rhetoric that he deceived himself into thinking and establishing the legitimacy of his position. But all of it was predicated, and all that rationalization, and all that deception was based on one linchpin. And what was the linchpin? What was the critical issue? Because he saw prophetically that Shmuel Hanavi, Samuel the prophet, is coming out from him. So the rabbis say, wonderful. How did it happen then that Shmuel Hanavi came out? Didn't Korach die? How did Shmuel come out? What's the end of the story? Says the Medrash, as the ground is opening, Korach's children abandoned him. They did tshuva. They repented. Fascinating. At the last split second, they repent. The father goes down, and the kids hang on, cling to the top of the ground, in their heart repenting, and they're saved. Now we know how Shmuel HaNavi, Samuel the prophet, comes out. But I got a question to ask you. If Korach is such a genius, if Korach is so smart, why didn't you figure this out? Maybe the last minute as the ground is opening, Korach's children are going to do tshuva. You see, you're putting your life on the line. Figure all the angles. You know, this is not a simple confrontation. Your life is there. Maybe your children will do tshuva. What's the answer? Korach, with all his genius, all his brilliance, made one mistake. He was so sure that he had done a number on his children, he believed that it was impossible for them to repent. They could not come back. They were so taken in, he believed, and so convinced that there was no way that a different position, a different theology, that within their heart, if he is wrong, that they will be able to see clarity and truth again. He bet his life. And he was a master psychologist. You can't move all the Jewish people unless you're a psychology master. Don't give me PhDs. I'll tell you what a PhD he had. He wrote the book. He was able to bring Moshe down. What happened? As much as he knew about Shuvah, the power of the spirit of the human being, the power of potential of return, Korach still didn't know it all. Korach didn't know that from the abyss, from the depths of a position so hardened and entrenched, a father with a son, which is the most powerful force in the world, Korach didn't believe they could come back and change direction. And that's why, right before we blow the shofar, that is why we read that mizmor. That's why we read that psalm. To say there's nobody that is davening here in this shul that is more committed, that is more entrenched, that is more beyond redemption, as one would think, than the children of Korach. And nevertheless, the children of Korach were able to do tshuva. Shir Mizmor Livnei Korach, David HaMelech gives them the accolade. He gives them a song for eternity in recognition of their courage, in recognition of their spirit, in recognition of the nobility that they possess, that they were able to pull themselves up from their bootstraps and be able reject the father, reject the public position they took, reject everything that they were convinced so passionately about, and to be able from the depths of their heart to see truth and to come back at the last moment. That's why we read Shir Mizmor Livnei Korach. And therefore HaKadosh Baruch Hu not only bestows upon us the opportunity to do tshuva, the wherewithal to do tshuva, the interest to do tshuva, and signals to us his appreciation, recognition, and desire, and want, and interest that we should come back, he literally implants within us that opportunity and nobility of spirit to unify ourselves, one with God, to be able to come back to him no matter how far we've traversed and how far we've traveled. And if I tell you, I want you to know, I asked my Rebbe, I said to him, tell me, if the Germany became one and the Iron Curtain fell and all the Russian republics was shattered, I said, are we any closer to Mashiach? He said, no, nothing that I see. The whole world turned over in the last 2 years, right? Do you have any reason to believe we're closer? No, nothing. We get up and think, well, the Mashiach is coming, it's coming, right? He said, no, no more than it is any other day. I don't see it. But one thing he says, I will say, the only thing I can tell you that Mashiach is close is what you told me, a rarity. What you told me is what I will tell you is the only thing I know Mashiach is coming. And that is all the Baalei Tshuva that are coming back. B'shem the Chofetz Chaim. Chofetz Chaim says that before the Mashiach comes, all the different souls through the millennia, through all of creation, that for one reason or another, there's an agenda, that they have a merit somewhere to come back, to do tshuva, to have one last chance to be able to become Shomer Torah Mitzvahs. Before Mashiach comes, there's going to be a mad rush of souls to grasp the last moments and opportunity to do tshuva before the Mashiach comes. For when Mashiach comes, there is no more tshuva. When Mashiach comes, there's no more Geirim. There are no more Kanim. There is no more Yetzirah. There is no more free will. It's gone. The world as we know it now will cease to exist. There will be no wrong in the world. There will be no Nisayon, no tests. Truth will be so clear that people will have no other agenda but only to do good. Before Mashiach comes, all these wayward souls, all these neshamas, and even among them goyim, that for some reason have a schus, a merit in creation, that they have to be given their opportunity and chance, they will all converge in that generation before the Mashiach. This is the generation that we live in. This is the generation that we have the schus. You see people come back, a tremendous amount, with unbelievable stories of courage, of sacrifice, people that have gone so far removed. And they come back and they do tshuva. It's a marvel to watch, it's a marvel to see. It's a wonder to hear their stories, to be inspired by their examples. They're an inspiration to us. They're the most unbelievable people. But that's testimony. That is the purity of the neshama. That is God's secret. And if one wants to know who we are, go look and see at that potential. See that greatness of spirit. See a neshama that's dormant in families for generations, and see how they come back and find their way to see truth with the greatest mesiras nefesh, with the greatest measure of self-sacrifice that one could imagine, to pursue what they believe to be truth at all costs. And that indeed is the first prerequisite for the road back. It's to know who we are, to know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves us dearly, more so than any parent can love a child. Ki avi ve'imi azavuni v'Hashem yasveinu. So possibly say every day, twice a day, l'david Hashem ori v'yishi. That even if one's parent were to discard them, even if a parent would be so cruel as to go ahead and cast them away, v'Hashem yasveinu, God will take us in. Boni matem l'Hashem olkechem, we are children of the God. It is this power, it is this identification, it is this appreciation and recognition of the greatness of spirit that our HaKadosh Baruch Hu endowed each and every one of us with, that gives us the strength, it gives us the courage, it gives us the wherewithal to be able to feel that special uniqueness, that quality, to be able to come on a yantif like Rosh Hashanah, to feel refreshed, to feel that indeed, that we owe it to ourselves, and owe it to Kav Yachol, to be able indeed to experience, and to be able to taste from the greatness that we possess. I want to share with you one more thought. I mentioned it in Tuesday class. I saw it brought down, Chovas Halvavas. I think it is at the end, Shar Cheshvin HaNefesh. We don't understand the precious gift of time and opportunity we have, and what difference it makes to do one mitzvah. The simplest mitzvah, says the Chovas HaVavas, don't disparage it. The simplest act that might seem so insignificant to you harbors great, great reward. And the smallest of averis carries with it great repercussions. And he says, a pasuk, yet Yaakov chevel nachlaso. The word chevel, do you know what the word chevel means? Chevel is a rope. Yaakov Hevel Nachloso, he says like this. When a person takes a rope, imagine that it is attached to a bell tower. You take the rope and you pull it on one end, and what happens on the other end? The bell rings. He says, when a person does the smallest of mitzvahs, it reverberates throughout all of creation, through the entire universe, unifies heaven and earth, and literally goes to the highest levels of the universe. The smallest mitzvah. If we were to be able to understand and have an insight, and if I'm not mistaken, Rav Chaim Volozhiner talks about it in Nefesh HaChaim, and greatly mispowered for her well-being. And she was taken. And he told me, I asked him, what did Rebbe say when he came to be Menachem Avil? When he came to see you, what? Tell me what he said. He said to me like this. He said, don't despair, he says, the tefillahs that you gave. He says, those tefillahs never go away. And if they did not affect for God's will, whatever his eternal purpose is, and secrets that are only known to him, your tefillahs will remain for yourself and your children. They remain in creation and never dissipate. They remain forever. You don't understand the world. The smallest mitzvah here affects literally the heavens. That's what God gave us. That's the power we possess. I mentioned that the wife of the Vilna Gaon made up with her friend the following thought. One of us will die first. The one who dies will agree to come back within 30 days to speak to the other one and tell them a little bit about what the world to come is like. First of all, you have to have a good friend. You have to be sure that that friend's also going to the world to come. You know, these are heavyweight people. These are not, you know, ministers. These are not regulation people. You can imagine, you know, the wife of the Vilna Gaon, you know, what she must have seen, you know what I mean? They say that Chafetz Chaim used to talk to angels and have them do his will. He used to send b'shoshim, used to send angels, some of them from heaven, and used to tell them, go out, I need this done, I need this done, I need this done, this done, and used to tell them what to do. Chafetz Chaim, what could the Vilna Gaon have done? And so she must have seen this. And so she knew the tricks. She says, our friend, which one of us dies, will come back within a certain amount of time and tell the other one what it's about up there. What are the coming attractions? She comes back. I don't know which one died first. The story goes that whoever died first told the other one like this. Do you remember that we once took note of a woman to offer her a chesed? Do you remember we asked her to raise some money for this hamada, for this poor person? We saw this rich woman in the street. Do you remember that we signaled her, we saw her from a distance, and we raised our hand to get her attention and called out to her? Remember? She says, yeah, I remember. She says, I want you to know that in the world to come, I am benefiting, I am reaping the rewards of even the motion, the action, the expression of raising my hand to get the attention of that woman. Imagine. Forget about the total act as one beneficiary of reward. Just the motion, the action, the hand motion, frozen in time for eternity, benefiting eternal reward. Imagine that. I would never dissect an act of chesed into so many component parts. If I were to tell you, if every step you take to get that woman, you're going to get reward. If every expression, if every word, that's what you get. Every little thing, says the Chofetz Chavavos, has tremendous influence effect and is so precious and dear to God. Don't despair. One little bite of mitzvah has tremendous effect and influence. And that indeed, I think, is the chizuk. That indeed is the concept, is the strength that we look for. To be able to give ourselves a sense of purpose, a knowledge of who we are, a feeling of accomplishment. It's so difficult to come by today, to be able to go against the world, to have a sense of purpose. We're really out of step. Family values, all these things that they talk about, such narishkeit, Murphy Brown, Rabbeinu Yamakula, where the world is holding. I mean, just can't begin to believe, you know, the democratic platform is such a shambles, such a terrible thing. It's such an anti-Torah society that we live in. Rights for every mishagas and every mishuganah. It's impossible to pick up a newspaper. Television, I can't begin to imagine, is mutter. I don't know where the heck is the television. Beyond me. Forget about the programs. I don't even think the commercials anymore you're allowed to look at. The commercials are a churban. Rabbeinu de Amakula, I went in the summer, I saw Daniel. Chatasi Abisti Pashat. I saw Daniel. What should I tell you? I was Nichshal. I saw Daniel. What should I tell you? I saw him. How did I see Daniel? I went to my mother-in-law. What should I tell you? The Olympics was there. It was the summer when they had the Olympics. So I figured I'm going to turn to look at the Olympics, right? So there I go and watch the Olympics. There, and all of a sudden, Chapsat Daniel. 10 after 10 in the morning. Daniel, let's see what modern America, you know, contemporary society's got to offer. I see. I am telling you, I only tell you because I'm afraid to say it in shul. It's so hard to say it in shul, you know. I revel at it. It's so terrible. I go, and I see there that he's interviewing two men. They're married. Kol Chassan. The Kol Chassan. Yeah, you can't believe it. They're married. That's the way they're introduced. One guy is Mr. Olympus. And another guy, he looks like the runner-up. They were the most unbelievably built guys. I'm telling you, any woman, you understand, Goyish woman would fall for a guy like this. Guys like this. And they're mishadech each other. They're married to each other. They're mamish and married. And they're talking about how they met in description exactly as a man and a woman would fall in love. They met at a party and they saw that they were looking and they were uncomfortable, but they caught each other's eye and I couldn't believe it. And they're telling this audience about how it evolved and how they have fidelity. And they say it's not for everybody, but let me tell you what we found in each other. In such clear and loving and committed terms. Literally the words and the expressions that one would imagine would be said in a normal heterosexual relationship. But that was a halbitzar that they picked these two guys that looked like Mr. America. The biggest sarbit was who the audience was. The audience was teenagers. Ask any question they want, they said to them. We will clarify for you our feelings, our relationship, so you better understand where we are coming from. I want you to know, is the tape running, Jody? You are the keeper of the tape. You will just hold on to it, write on it, you know.
Hot stuff.
You know, whatever, HS, whatever it is. Okay? I want you to know, lahalocha, I am telling you, it is better to go ahead and watch a XXX movie than to watch this. There's no shaiva. A XXX movie, at least, you know, it's a normal type of. It's a normal perversion. So it's a little too much, you know what I mean? So, you know, a little bit over the line. Oh, but at least it's not corruptive. On 10 o'clock in the morning, my kid could turn this on and listen to 1 hour of this thing. Would you invite these two chevron to your house? Would you invite these to the shul? It's a big fundraiser. I want you to know. We'll go Southeast Hebrew congregation. You understand, would have such a thing, you know what I mean? Allah Mishagayim will be coming, may Abakan Fos Arish. But I want you to know, 10 o'clock in the morning, this Nevada goes and watches the television. That's the state of the thing. important enough that you understand what's the motive. That's what we permit. And that's all sanctioned under the general liberal tone of America today of called tolerance and understanding. There's no greater destruction and corruption than our children could be exposed to. Even the adults, what they know down the court. I'm only using this as a point of departure to how difficult it is for us to be able to remain strong and firm and to be able to have a sense of self. How critical it is that we have to affirm our purpose, our accomplishment, our achievement, our potential, what we're able to do, what we can accomplish. Mitzvah Hashem, with the Eibishter's help, that we should go ahead and reach out to him. Lulei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ozro Lo Yuchalo. Without his divine support and assistance, it would be impossible to come back. But we do have a haftacha. B'derech Shodom Rotz Leilech, we have a promise. The road that we want to go, Molichin Oso Min HaShemayim, does God direct us. And if our purpose and our intention, our resolve and our commitment and our interest is to do his will, if we will seek to come back, if we will understand that the only meaningful relationship in this world is that which will be a godly relationship, the only hope that we have of personal fulfillment and satisfaction is only through Shmiras HaMitzvahs, through the study of Torah and the observance of his mitzvahs and the Vekas Bashem and clinging to God. If we would only appreciate and understand that, and understand the beauty of his word, the preciousness of his Torah, that it is the only thing that will give us Kihem Chayeno B'Yaruch Yomeinu, that's the source of our life, and the longness of our days, if we would only understand that in its fullest sense, then indeed we would reap such wonderful benefits, and we would be able to find the inner meaning and purpose and secret to our existence, and with it would come the total fulfillment, the total joy that is given over to each and every one of us. Ivduet Hashem b'simcha. There is no way that one could really achieve simcha in this world if it's not in a spiritual sense. Simcha, joy, is only something that comes from within, not something that comes from without. And it can only come with this identification, with this feeling of this closeness, with emun and bitachon, faith and trust in God, the knowledge that we walk as one with him. And when we can capture that spirit, and capture that moment, and utilize Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur as this opportunity to come back in, to change our life, to inspire ourselves, to make those commitments that are necessary. At the beginning it's hard. Kol ha'scholos koshes, but don't worry. That's what Shel Flanta talks about it. At the beginning it's very hard, and the steps are slow. It's like a child walking, but somehow you put it together, and at the end the child will walk firm, strong. At the end the child will run. That's the way we'll be. Mitzvah Hashem David should help that indeed should be a year, and it should be fulfilled the haftacha, the promise that Rabbi Shel Flanta says, Zachreinu l'chayim melech ha'feitz b'chayim. Zachreinu, you should remember us for life, because Veinu b'sefer ha'chayim, you should inscribe us in the book of life. L'man ch'elokim chayim. We ask him that all of these things should be done not for our sake, but that it should be done l'man ch'elokim chayim, for your sake, God. That indeed the Eibishter should help, that we should be given this source, and we ask him to give us life on the company expense. You know, when you go for the United States government, or you go for a corporation, and you go to do government business, what do? So they find a place, they give you an allowance for what? For sleeping out of town. They give you an allowance for food. They give you whatever allowances you need to be able to manage all your expenses. That's what we ask the Eibishter. Zachreinu l'chayim, kasveinu b'sefer l'chayim, l'man chelokim chayim. It's all for your sake, God. And in this merit, that this becomes our resolve and commitment to be able to do this for his will, to fulfill, to be mekadesh shem Hashem, to sanctify the name of God, that will be the merit by which we will be zocher, that the Eibishter indeed will give us a shnas chayim b'sholom, a year of life and peace. And in Mitzvah Hashem we will see great and wonderful things, and above all we should pray to the Eibishter that he should give us the understanding, the appreciation, to come in touch with the nobility of our spirit and soul, that we should be able to reach the Avas Hashem, the love of God, the Vekas Hashem, the clinging to God, the fullest measure that we are capable, with the fullest amount of potential that endowed each and every one of us. If anybody has any questions how to do that, I'll be happy to tell you. Anybody have any questions? You must have some questions. Yes?
Maybe I missed something. I don't understand exactly what you mean by cup. Like, how is it?
if one asks for life for themselves, then we come to God and we ask Him for our life. In other words, I want life. I want to see my children grow up. Right? I want to be able to have, you understand, certain privileges. I want to have, I'd like to live comfortably. I pray to God, listen, the money's no problem by you. I pray the Abishah, you know, should bestow upon me wealth. I want to be able to live comfortably. Even that's a big madrega, to be able to believe, to come to Him, that He has the power, and to give myself over to His ability. That's also not a small one. But if I come to ask Him for my own sake, God, fulfill my needs. Give me what I need. It's a legitimate request, right? I want life. I want parnasa. I want health. I want these things. Right? Says Rabbi Yisrael Salanter, that's not the key. Because if you come and say, I want, then the Abishter says, so tell me what merit. Just want. Let's see. What do you have to offer? Or what merit should this be given? Is it the way we lived the year before? Is it the way we've lived 2 years before? Is that then the justification? What is the overture? Just to come to ask, is that alone sufficient? Said Rabbi Yisrael Salanter, the Gaonim, who created this tefillah, gave us the key. Zochrei l'chaim, melech hafetz b'chaim, the one who remembers, who wants to give life, should inscribe us for life. But how do we get it? L'mancha. The secret is God. L'mancha. We're asking for your sake. I'd like to have one. I'd like to live a little comfortably. Not too comfortably. I'm not looking for it. I'd like to give stuff. I'd like to be able to pay full tuition. I'm not asking for big things. I'd like to pay full tuition. I'd like to pay dues. I'd be able to like to go ahead and give tzedakah. I'd like to be able to pay all the mishalachim that come. Hmm. I'd like to go ahead just to be able to do that. I only need $150,000. That's all. You know what I mean? Just full tuition alone. You know what I mean? I'm not asking for myself. Health? I want health. I want to be able to do chesed. I want to be able to help people. I want to be able to go ahead and learn. I want to be able to do so many wonderful things that I can only do if I'm healthy. I want to be able to do that. That's the secret. That's how you open this heart. So it's not to talk the trip. Just for that word alone, it's good to come. The whole tefillah changes. I want all these things, the mancha, to be mekadesh Hashem, to serve you, God. If I'm not well, pavish, if I'm worrying about panosa, it's not good health, it's hard, it's distracting. If my children are not well, it's hard. But my child will keep trying to view. But believe it, I need to do it. You know? he reads hearts, you know? He's very adept. But if you're here today, then on some level you all have that commitment. You want to find ways to elevate yourself. And that's the key to come. That's the key to reading. Tell them I want to put another company in space. I want to charge. You remember Helene that part? It's great. It's every year. We say in the Davening, Ki Imcha Haslichot, with you, God, there's forgiveness. Leman Tivarei. Shiva said, I think Reb Sharon was the name of Israel, Ki Imcha Haslichot, with you, there's forgiveness. Leman Tivarei. I think in order that we might fear you means, again, that same idea that I said to you before. When there's forgiveness, we can start all over again. We can start the year new, start fresh. The slate is clean. The initiative is there. We were able to start all over. The dress, we sent it to the cleaner. It's perfectly clean. I'll watch it now carefully. I'll take it off when I come back from shul. I'm not going to let any stains get on it. Any other questions? You questions left. Where were you before? Boston? Where were you?
Philadelphia.
You must have some questions from Philadelphia. No? The rabbi there has all your questions, right? See, mainly they don't have any questions. Well, it's a number of years already, you know what I mean? But, you know, they must have some questions from Philadelphia. They took care of everything. Anybody have any questions about Shuvah? Nothing about Shuvah. I just want to mention one thought. I'm going to mention it. Maybe Shabbos Shuvah or this. And I'll let you go with this. To me, it was most powerful. I don't know what hit me, no. You can see a chazal 1,000 times, and you get older a little bit, and you see it differently. That's what age does to you. A little smarter, a little bit more mature. Comes Rosh Hashanah and Kippur, what do we look for? What's the first thing that hits us? You want to live. Just pushing, I mean, a person, schus to life is to come to the Eibishter, it brings down. That we are corruption, we are impoverished. We have no automatic lease on life, like a term policy, insurance policy that just renews itself. Every year we got to come back to God and start all over. And whatever we have can take away from us tomorrow. You take it away today. You can take it away in 1 minute. It's all gone. You hear stories, you got to be foolish not to know. I have a wonderful bracha. For some reason, people tell me all these stories. And downtown, on these Wednesdays, I get these stories every mitzvah and donishim. I'm telling you, you know what I mean? I come out of there depressed. I come out of there like the Baal Batim come out between Mincha Maariv. I have to tell you. One guy comes to me 2 weeks ago. So I'm going to watch the message. Why do you tell me? One guy comes to me and tells me that his brother's all shaken up. What's the matter with his brother? Brother's all upset. He worked in a hospital in an emergency room, and a guy comes in. His kid did something to his arm. He was playing ball, and his brother worked on it and fixed it up, stitched it up. I think his head was gashed open, and he went ahead and he fixed it. And the father said, "Okay, it was like 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Now I can go to play ball myself." So the father, this guy, 32 years old, goes out 31. He goes out to play ball. Later that afternoon, 2 hours later, the father comes into the emergency room. What happened to him? Broke his ankle. The same doctor, his brother's working now on the father. She says, "I don't know. I don't think it's a simple break. And I think you should see an orthopedist." "I can't tell you honestly that I can handle it." I called him into orthopedist. He said that he should be operated on. So he goes ahead. He says, "Fine." So that night he's operated on to set the foot. Comes out, his surgery is perfectly fine. 31 years old. Yeah, had a surgery, had a recovery, no big deal. He's talking to somebody, all of a sudden, bang, oh, he's dead. An embolism. I see another guy this week. You know what, they tell me this story. It's a small group. Mm-hmm. He says to me, I said, how are things? You know, I told him getting 3 weeks from Alechem, I know his wife was expecting. He says, "Not so good." I said, "Yeah, what happened?" Lay it on me, you know. What happened? My sister-in-law, yeah, is in a coma. Mm-hmm. How old is she? She's 23. I said, "What happened?" "With my sister-in-law, my brother's wife. Yeah, she had a spot on her lung or something, so they did a biopsy. Poughkeepsie. She came out of it perfectly fine. She was in recovery. The family saw her. Yeah, they went down to have something to eat. Heart stopped. Listen. They finally brought her back, but she's in a coma. She's no brain activity. And would you know what he tells me? The biopsy is perfectly fine. They don't believe it. It's just like, you know, we just live in a, you know, it's not as rare as you would think that it is. Mamish have to be misbah, you know? The whole world can turn over one day. So where's the security? What do you do? How do you help yourself? I found a very good answer. Mi ha'ish ha'chofetz chayim. We go on these crazy diets. That diet is run around the blocks. Yeah, all the mishigasim.
I have a wonderful answer.
Mi ha'oish ha'chafetz chayim ohev yom liros tov. Itzon l'shon ha'meira usvasecha midabem yirma. Sur meira v'asei tov v'akei shalom rabeim. Don't speak lashon hara. Mi ha'oish ha'chafetz chayim? Rashiva told me that Chafetz Chaim lived, I think he told me when I was a young fellow, he told me Chafetz Chaim lived over 100 years. I think he said lived 107 years. He said when he reached 100, he started counting backwards. Because it says 100 is Nefshach Kemes. So he started reaching, so he said he died at 93. But he really did die at 93. So he told me that's kind of what. But whatever it is, he lived quite old. Mi ha'esh ha'chafetz chayim, who's the person that wanted to live? What would you give for a schooler for life? Shmiras Halashim. That's all it is. That's what you say. Real, serious stuff. Just to be able to have the strength. It's hard sometimes. Sometimes we'll, you know, catch me though. But it could be done. You gotta learn. You know, some wonderful books available now. Apples of Gold. Some Apples of Gold. Other books are translated today. Shmiras Halashon. And forgetting about even all the intricacies. You know, all the subtleties. But just the things that we know that is not permitted. Forgetting about, you know, I'm going through Shmiras Halashon now. Maybe by Hanukkah I'll be finished with it. I mean, enough to be able to talk about it. I mean, I can't field all the questions. It is not an easy work to know exactly when yes and when not. And the type of cases that you could bring up, there's no end to the cases you could bring up. You're more than my match. And these are doraisas. These are not, you know, little, you know, incidental, you know, issues in halacha. That would be wonderful, wouldn't it be? Mishav Chafetz Chaim Ohev Yom Liros Tov. Make a takana to take upon ourselves before Yantif. A concerted effort to consciously not to speak Lashon Hara. I saw it brought down in Reb Yitzchak Petterberger. They found in his talis bag a list of things that he accepted upon himself in his life to be careful about. And one of the things, I think there were 7 or 8 major things, one of them was Shmiras Halashon. To be able to make, be careful the way he talks. He said it should become for him the hardest aver, the hardest limb of the body to move. How he puts it so beautifully. It is the easiest one. But he said he trained himself, training himself, that it should be the hardest to move. What better time to talk about it? I figure, why am I wasting all my time in Chicago? Nervous, worried, this, that, you know what I mean? You got a doctor, he tells you this, you got high blood pressure, you got this problem, you got this problem. I'm telling you, Avis the Watson, let's see. First of all, it's Michigas. You do your hishtatus, I'll do my hishtatus. But hey, whatever, what's my hishtatus? What's my effort? Mi ha'isha chofetz chayim ohev yomim liros tov. What better haftacha could you go into? What when the doctor came to you and said, I'll give you a prescription. This is what you got to do. You'd run. So I don't have it from the doctor. I got it from the Amish, though. Why isn't that more chashuv? Every Mishigas they tell us we listen to. It cost us thousands. I got the answer for you. Simple, no? Listen, you should have a good yantif. A freilichen yantif. A gesunte yantif. You should be well. David should help you. You should have much nachas and joy. The year should be good for each and every one of you. For your husbands and your children, your mishpapas. You should be well and you should be healthy. And above all, you should be able to fulfill your potential. And to be able to be in touch with all the wonderful nobility and the shaman spirit that you all possess in such wonderful, wonderful measure, that it means Hashem, together we should really, I asked my Rebbe, what's my tafkin in life? My Rebbe says only one purpose you have in mind. The Kaddish Shem Hashem sanctify God's name. That's all there is.
It's also available now.
Shmiras Halashon on the phone. For that, you're allowed to go on the phone.
10 minutes
Yeah, 10 minutes here. It's all that. Yeah. I'll tell you what it accomplished. It's like Musa. 10 minutes a day. You know, that's what Musa. You know, Rebbe says that every woman has to learn Musa. It just is a consciousness. If you know 10 minutes a day, pick up the phone. Means it's an agenda issue. It means it's in front of you. It means you won't forget that there is more than just what the halacha is for those 10 minutes. You remind yourself every single day that this is something that you have to address. It's a wonderful idea. Why do we use technology to our advantage? Because obviously that's its purpose. They think it's for their purpose, but that's not true. It's for our purpose. Let's use it right. Thank you.
Can I ask you a question?